Welcome, 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 welcome on in to another victory edition, the Atlanta Baseball Postgame Show, where it's you and it's me for the next hour. Give me a call, 404-726-0929. As the Braves only managed to scratch across one run, but that's all they needed. Hurston Waldrip has kind of quietly become one of the best pitchers in baseball over the last couple of weeks. Seven innings pitched tonight, just four hits, zero earned runs, one walk, seven strikeouts, 87 pitches. Lowering his ERA to 0. Yes, you heard that right. 0.73. Wow. This kid is on a Jacob Mizorowskian route. That's the kid from the Brewers that everyone got all hot and bothered about because he made the All-Star team after like five starts. Well, I'll say this. If the All-Star game was tomorrow, Hurston Waldrip might get that same kind of treatment because, boy, has he been absolutely dominant. So my question to you tonight, Braves Country, is this. There's been a lot of good over the past couple of weeks, couple of days, between Hurston Waldrip, Money Michael Harris continuing to be the hottest hitter in the league, between Drake Baldwin, probably Rookie of the Year, and guys really stepping up like a Waldrip. And here's a sneaky stat for y'all tonight. Raisel Iglesias pitched another scoreless inning tonight. Do y'all know when the last time Raisel Iglesias gave up an earned run? You got to go back to July 26th. So he's closing in on a calendar month without giving up an earned run. Pretty good. So a lot of things are trending in the right direction for the Braves right now. Did get some bad news, though. Austin Riley had a setback. They're determining what the next steps for him are going to be. Sit him, please. Good Lord. No reason to struggle to get him back out there. Why? So we'll see what happens there. And then, of course, there's what's going on with Spencer Strider. So my question to you all is at 404-726-0929 is as follows. Do all of the good things that are going on right now for the Braves, Waldrip, Baldwin, Harris, even Ozzie playing better of late, does that make you feel better about the state of the Braves for next season? Or do the holes at shortstop, starting rotation, bullpen, what is the future of Ozzie at second base? Are those things still looming large for you to the point where you're still nervous? Or has the last couple of weeks really put a spark into what you think could be the future of the Braves? I think there's reason to be optimistic. I really do. Again, Waldrip's been phenomenal, including tonight. The offense has put up a lot of crooked numbers in the series against the Marlins and the White Sox. And against the Mets, they put up 11 runs. Cleveland, you took care of business. So what do you guys think? Is the positive momentum for the Atlanta Braves right now strong enough for you to sit back and say, you know what? I am actually feeling pretty good that this is an outlier season and that 2026, as close as they can be, things will go back to normal. Because I think they're in a good spot. You got enough time left in this season to continue to try to figure it out and put the rest of the puzzle pieces together. And if Waldrip can keep this up, Baldwin, Harris, Ozzie, I just think you're feeling a lot better than you were a month ago or at the trade deadline when things were just seemingly spiraling out of control. And you didn't like what you were seeing on the field. You didn't like the mood and the tenor from the dugout with Snit. You didn't like any of it. You thought everything was trending in the wrong direction. Well, flash forward to now, Guys, Iglesias lowered his ERA to 3.93. There was a time this season where that ERA was 6.75. Do we remember? I remember, certainly. I was screaming here on 92.9 The Game. Your closer has a 6.5 ERA. What are we doing? And now he's cut it to 3.93. And he has a chance to continue to lower it. And he also recorded his 20th save tonight. Listen, if we're going to pound him as hard as we did when he was struggling as bad as he was, let's at least give him his flowers when he deserves it. Again, he has not allowed an earned run since July 26th. It's August 20th. That's a really good stretch. I bet you that's as good as any closer has been in baseball through that period. He picked up his 20th save tonight. Is he going to finish with, I don't know, maybe 30? That's from where he was. If you tell me that at the end of the season, he's going to finish with 30 saves and an ERA close to, I don't know, 3-4, that's really impressive. And that's a really strong turnaround from a guy who we all just sat here and thought, essentially said, dude, your career is over. You're cooked as a closer. That slider was an automatic home run. Fastball doesn't sit high enough to just throw that. So he was cooked, or so we thought. Now he's pitching really, really well. Waldrop, how excited are you about him in the rotation next year now? He's going to take the place of one of Grant Holmes or Smith Shawver. And then they need to get somebody else to fill the other slot, because the overwhelming majority of the opinion is that neither one of them will be back next year. So again, 404-726-0929. I am here with you, Chris Thomas Turtle, until 11 o'clock to take your calls on the Atlanta baseball postgame show. What do you think? Are these positive signals that we're getting from the team, these positive signs, strong enough to convince you that for the long term, you know what? It looked really bad for a while, but I think this team could be all right in 2026 and beyond. Or do you still have your question marks? I think that that's perfectly fine if you still have some question marks. I do. But I've really liked what I've seen the past couple of weeks. There's been a lot of positive signs. Again, we did get the bad news today about Austin Riley. He's doesn't look like he'll be back anytime soon, but that just gives Nacho Alvarez more time to see if he could be a long-term option for the major league club. Maybe he's a bench guy. If he continues to play well, who knows? 404-726-0929. Let's hear a little bit from Grant McCauley. He joined the station earlier today, and he talked about how much better the team has looked over the last couple of weeks.
I feel like there has been a bit of a shift, right? I mean, they're scoring runs, which makes it a lot more fun because right. It ups your chances of winning games, which they've done a little bit more of here lately as well. And I think you kind of have to enjoy every once in a while. You know how we talked about losing a game you shouldn't have lost about 2 months ago against the Arizona Diamondbacks? I hate to dredge that up. But then you get a game like last night where it seems like the baseball gods make good for it, and you win a game you had no business winning. So that's a lot more fun than the former. And lately it just feels like that the Braves offense, despite not having Ronald Acuna Jr. for a while, not having Austin Riley right now, has suddenly started to find a gear that I wasn't sure we were going to see based on the first 3 months of the year.
And I don't even know, to Grant's point, though, if it's suddenly. Like, they've been really good for a little bit now. Going back to the series against Cincy, you take both of those games, you lose one to Milwaukee. Listen, man, I'm just looking at this team right now a little bit more optimistically than I was a month ago, 2 months ago, where it just seemed like you couldn't get out of your own way, where everything that will go wrong could go wrong and vice versa. Now, I think you can win some games here down the stretch, especially if Raisel Iglesias is turning back into a lockdown closer. Pierce Johnson looks a little better. There's some signs of life here, especially with Money Harris leading the way. I'm more optimistic about the rest of this season, not that that matters, but and the future as well. Again, 404-726-0929. 0929 is the number to get involved. Speaking of Hurst and Waldrop, Grant McCauley was asked about that as well today on the Midday Show.
No, no doubt about it. I think that what he's been able to do has given the Braves a lot to be excited about, you know, moving into 2026, because we've seen it. We're watching it right now play out. Your opening day rotation, all on the 60-day injured list. That was not on the list of possibilities that I expected. Could you lose a guy or two? Yeah, and every team is pretty much going to have to deal with that at some point. But losing five starting pitchers, you're going to get your depth tested big time, and the Braves have. And they were hesitant to go to Waldrop early on because I think he was still sorting some stuff out. His work with Sean Murphy, integrating that sinker, executing his pitches a lot better. This looks sustainable to me. It's a small sample size of three outings, but if he continues to build on this and have that kind of success, I think the Braves have themselves a very viable contender to jump in the rotation next year.
And he certainly, again, added to it tonight by going seven innings, four hits, no runs, one walk, seven strikeouts on 87 pitches, lowering his ERA to just 0.73. All right, when we get back, we'll take your calls. 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. Again, do these positive signs for the Atlanta Braves make you feel better about the future? Whereas before, I think we were looking at a reset, a rebuild, no matter what you want to call it. Now I don't think you need to so much. We know the core pieces that were going to be in place, but I think a lot of the other parts that have really shown their merit over the last couple of weeks make you feel a lot better about the future. Or do you still need to see more? Where do you fall on this argument? 404-726-0929. Do the bright spots of the Braves over the last couple of weeks give you more hope, or are you still concerned about the future? When we get back, we'll take more of your calls. You'll hear more from Grant McCauley, also from Rowan Kavner, who stopped by with me on Chris Thomas tonight. So a jam-packed edition of the Atlanta Baseball Postgame Show. Your calls are next.
We're talking baseball with the Atlanta Baseball Postgame Show with Chris Thomas.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
The Atlanta Braves take the series. 1-0 win. Hurst and Waldrop's looking like an ace out there. There's a lot of good things going on for the Braves right now. Raisel Iglesias, don't look now, hasn't allowed an earned run since July 26th. Lowered his ERA nearly in half from 6.5 to 3.9. There's a lot of good stuff. Harris is having an MVP run here. If only his season started in July instead of, you know, March and April, we'd be in a different situation. And Drake Baldwin, going to be Rookie of the Year, most likely. So with all that said, how are you feeling, Braves country, about the state of the team? Are you feeling better now because all of these things are finally starting to go your way heading into 2026? Or do you still need to see more? Do you still need to see more from a club that is still, whatever they are, 11 games under 500, not going to make the playoffs, and has had a lot of disappointment this year? I understand both sides of the coin. But the more I see, especially from some of these young guys, the more excited I am about the future of the Braves and what their potential could be. So what do you think? Taking your calls, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. In the meantime, we'll hear a little bit more from Grant McCauley. He was asked about Michael Harris and his turnaround and just how amazing it's been. This is what he had to say.
Yeah, that's some low-key good shade, too. I have idea why he was bunting there.
No one knows.
They showed Brian Snitker right afterwards, and I'm pretty sure that anybody that was like, why did Snit ask him to bunt? He did not.
He did not ask him to bunt.
He did a little bit more in that situation. But, it was the idea that you could catch him off guard, and I get it, but you got to be sure that you can actually execute. But putting that aside, no. I mean, Michael Harris II is as hot a hitter as I have seen at any point in any generation by any name. I mean, at least for what I can look up in history books and what I can watch with my own two eyes. But to come from being one of the five worst hitters in baseball, having the worst season of your career to the point where you know, people were asking, I mean, does this guy need to be figuring this out at the minor leagues? And the Braves stuck with him, and it turned out he didn't need to go to the minor leagues. He just needed to go back to his minor league stance, and that has been a big adjustment for him. He did work some with Chipper Jones, and Chipper had told him that when it came to that swing, you know, it's easier to swing from up to down than from swinging, you know, swinging his, you know, down up, and even up to get up. Is, you know, it's, we can get into a lot of minutiae here about swings, and none of us have ever played professional baseball, so I'm going to leave it to them. They made the right adjustment. He's making much better swing decisions, and he's just in a better place to execute, and he's hitting the ball at an incredibly consistent high velocity. So all of that adds up to a hitter who is, I think, playing up to the capabilities and the talent level that we all knew was in there. So it's refreshing. He told me the other day, hey, better late than never, but you needed to see something change. And he just felt like, even though he'd made that adjustment to lower his hands his rookie year and it had worked for a while, that maybe he was starting to overcorrect and that needed to stop. And now I think he just feels comfortable and like himself again.
Yeah, and we'll see if that carries on for the rest of the season. But the way he's been playing consistently now, I don't think there's a reason to believe that it won't. And if you missed it at the beginning there, yeah, I don't know what – this was last night's game. I don't know what the heck he was thinking, bunting with the bases loaded. Again, maybe just trying something new. He's been so hot that, you know, maybe you throw him off guard. Nobody was expecting it. But, yeah, not exactly expert execution. I think he should just try to stick to hitting the ball deep and hard and out of the ballpark like he has been. We mentioned Austin Riley. I don't really know – what the point of playing him again this season would be, especially if he's going to be ginger. And it sounds like there was a setback in his rehab and what's going on there. Grant McCauley was asked about Riley, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, he's going to be reevaluated by doctors. I would imagine that's happening today. It's supposed to happen today. I'd imagine it could be ongoing right now. But they've been testing that out, and just the discomfort is still there. And particularly with the lunging plays that he made at the plate to tag out Ellie De La Cruz and that that Speedway Classic. And then prior to that, even prior to the All-Star break, it was a fielding play that injured him, that lower abdominal strain that they've called it. It just doesn't seem to be completely going away as to exactly what it is beyond a lower abdominal strain. We haven't really gotten any kind of update on that, but I know at this point, they're not just going to force him back out there so that he can go on the injured list a third time. If they feel like it's still in there, it's still an underlying issue, they're going to try to figure out what it is. Hopefully we'll know something a little bit later today.
And I just feel like what it comes down to is with all these guys, even including Acuna, who I know wants to be out there. I know he wants to play. Why? For what? Like, what is the point at this point in the season? All you're doing is putting, as Grant just said at the end of that clip, all you're doing is putting yourself back out there for the potential to hurt it again. So why? I don't understand. 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. It is the Atlanta Baseball Postgame Show with yours truly, Turtle, taking you up until the top of the hour at 11 o'clock. How about Spencer Strider? We talked about this last night on the show. I think they got three options. Just let him be. Work it out in the majors. Do you try him in the bullpen? Or do you just shut them down? I think those are the options that they're looking at right now. I have no idea what they're going to do. My gut would tell me he'll just stay in the rotation and they'll let him figure it out. But at the end of the day, I'm not exactly thrilled with what I'm seeing, and neither should you be. 11 innings pitched in his last three starts, 20 earned runs and 30 hits. I mean, it is what it is. Those are scores and numbers that would not allow you to be pitchable anymore in most other situations. But this is what Grant McCauley had to say about Strider.
I think the biggest thing is for him to continue to get his work in. Now, obviously, we have not seen this version of Spencer Strider pre-surgery, even post-surgery, where he struggled in those first five starts coming back off the injured list and clearly the hamstring issue that cropped up right after that. But this guy who's getting some swings and misses but not finishing with the strikeouts that you expect and obviously getting hit hard, and not just for quantity of hits but also a lot of home runs here lately, And it's not just all tied to the velocity. It's tied to, I think, pitch execution for both his fastball and his slider. Because when Spencer Strider's at his best, it is a fastball that takes off toward the top of the zone and gets past hitters. It gets on him in such a hurry because he gets great extension with where he releases the ball from. But I've looked at Baseball Savant, you know, the StatCast data, and he went from having an elite fastball in 2023 to having one that's in the bottom 10% of the league this year. It's just not a competitive pitch. That's a big-time problem. When your fastball is not competitive, you're giving up damage there. And all of a sudden, your slider has – I don't know if it's completely regressed, but he's missed some spots some, and that ultimately is also allowing hitters to get more comfortable with the slider because they're seeing it more because Spencer's trying to go to something that's working more so that he can get the results that he expects. So I say all of that to say that the innings that he throws this year, even if he continues to take some lumps in some of these starts, and I do think he's going to figure it out, is what is going to propel him and set the foundation for getting back to the pitcher that he's capable of being in the future beginning in 2026. And I think no small part of that will be a normal offseason, normal weight routine, normal regimen, normal workouts, getting to spring training, not off a rehab program, but feeling like you're coming in where you want to that time of year.
Grant, I hope so. That is a very optimistic approach, but I get it. I mean, he's not, you know, a neophyte pitcher at this point in his career. He's shown he has a resume that he can be really good, but two major arm injuries and now this. So it just unfortunately contributes to the doubt and the narrative that Spencer Strider is going through a really challenging period right now. And there's no doubt about it. Again, the stats speak for themselves, and they're crazy. 11 innings pitched, 20 earned runs, and 30 hits in his last three starts. I don't know what to say other than he needs to figure it out. But if he's not going to figure it out this year, is it worth it to keep running him out there? And that's the question. 404-726-0929. One more from Grant before we catch a quick break, and then I'll let you hear what MLB insider Rowan Kavner from Fox had to say about the Atlanta Braves and a whole lot more coming up on the Atlanta Baseball Postgame Show. Drake Baldwin, is he a lock for Rookie of the Year? Grant McCauley was asked about it.
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's Isaac Collins of the Milwaukee Brewers, I think, is probably the name that everybody started to notice, especially when the Brewers went on that, 14 or 15-game winning streak, and he was in the middle of all of that. And he's a 28-year-old, I would say, you know, well-traveled minor league outfielder who had a cup of coffee last year and is playing really well this year. And I've seen people look at it, and you know, all they're doing is looking at wins above replacement and saying, it looks like Collins has surpassed Baldwin. Well, it's not the National League war, you know, of the year for rookies. It's an award that I think encompasses a lot more. When I look at a 24-year-old catcher who came to spring training just hoping to make an impression, but very likely ticketed for the minors, and all of a sudden you're the opening day catcher on a club that is, you know, maybe didn't play out the way you wanted it to, but had a lot of expectations on it, most certainly. And the way Drake Baldwin has you know, been able to play this year and the way that he has established himself, I think is, as much or anything, something that's going to get attention of voters, and it should, not to take anything away from Collins, but I feel like he's kind of playing a great part in an ensemble that's having a lot of success, whereas with Baldwin, there was a lot more pressure on his shoulders to perform at a very demanding position.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, I think he deserves it, I think he's earned it, and I think he'll get it, but at the end of the day, I think the bigger question becomes, in the offseason, are you going to keep the band together? Are you going to keep him and Murph as a dynamic tandem at catcher, or are you going to try to say, listen, we need to restock our farm system in the worst way possible and give, you know, Murph a chance on the market to fetch you something? I think that's the question that you're going to really have to ask yourself after Drake Baldwin takes home the Rookie of the Year campaign or not. All right, when we get back, we'll continue to light up the phones for you at 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Again, what I want to know, Braves fans, is the following. What are you feeling after this uptick in play? Are all these guys doing their thing, giving you more hope? You feeling better about 2026 and beyond? Or do you still need to see more from your Atlanta Braves? But coming up next, my conversation with Rowan Kavner, Fox Sports MLB insider. What does he think about the Braves and a whole lot more as the MLB conversation continues on the Atlanta Baseball Postgame Show?
We're talking baseball with the Atlanta Baseball Postgame Show with Chris Thomas.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Michael Harris continues to be the hottest hitter in baseball, and it has been an absolute roller coaster ride up through the start of this one. It's just been crazy, and just another example of just how absolutely wild this Braves season has been. To talk about that and all things MLB, let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. I'm Chris Thomas tonight. Welcome in our buddy Rowan Kavner of Fox Sports MLB. A lot to talk about here locally with the Braves. Rowan, let's get started with the good. Michael Harris continues to be, if not the hottest hitter in baseball, one of them. What do you make of his absolutely crazy turnaround where he's raised his batting average nearly 50 points in a month?
Yeah, I mean, he was – I don't know if we've seen anything this stark before. I can't remember. He was the worst hitter in baseball for the first half of the season, and he is the best hitter, at least in the National League, since the second half, since the break. It's dramatic, obviously. You don't want to, you know, maybe make too much of a month after, you know, a whole kind of season's worth or first half worth of seeing the complete opposite. But, man, it's got to be the most encouraging thing for Atlanta fans to have something to really get excited about for the future. And sure, would you have loved to have seen this in April and May? Absolutely. But when you're thinking about kind of the next couple years of, you know, can Atlanta turn this around? Michael Harris is just such a huge part of it. So really, really encouraging. Again, I don't want to make like too much of a month, but I mean, how do you not? It's not like he's just been better. He has been the best hitter in the National League since the All-Star break. So the power's back. He's punishing pitches that he should punish that he wasn't able to. He has, you know, more than half of his homers have been hit in the last, I think, month. So it feels real, you know, and obviously some swing mechanical things seem to have kind of worked for him. But, you know, this is a guy you can believe in, and that defense just gives him such a high floor that he doesn't have to be the best player in the National League to be productive. But if he is that, you're going to take that.
Now to the bad. Spencer Strider has had three starts. You ready for these numbers, Rowan? 11 innings pitched, 30 hits, and 20 earned runs over his last three starts. It's almost unbelievable, especially given we know what he can be when he's right and when he's healthy. What should the Braves do with him? Should they just let him work it out in the rotation, maybe try him in the bullpen, or maybe even sit him down?
Yeah, I mean, I would not go to the bullpen. I mean, I think the fact that, you know, this is kind of a lost season as is should make those decisions at least a little bit easier. I think obviously when you were talking about a guy with his history, the first thing you get really worried about is, okay, what's going on physically there? Because, I mean, for, you know, 2 months there, I know maybe it wasn't peak Strider, but he was pitching really well. I think he was still top 15 in strikeout rate. Obviously, just the numbers in general, it was kind of a rough, you know, first few starts. And then he was really productive for about 10 starts. And then, bam, kind of out of nowhere, August hits. And you have this, and you think, okay, is something wrong with his arm? And you look, and he's throwing harder in August than he was the couple months prior. It just feels like something mechanically is off. Obviously, you know, I'm not there in the clubhouse with them and in the dugout with them to know, is this a physical thing? I think that's obviously something he has to kind of be honest with. And if there's anything going on, you shut him down, you try to get him right. Maybe you just give him a couple starts off to try to figure out what's kind of going on mechanically here. You obviously don't push him. This isn't a season that you're going to really want to do that, but you do want to see him be able to kind of work through this. I just think it was so encouraging there for a couple months. And it's really just been a three-start sample that something just seems to be off. And I do wonder, yeah, if it's more mechanical than it is physical. The thing with him is, you know, the fastball is not playing. There's just not a lot of places to go. He's managed to do what he's done as a fastball slider pitcher. And if that fastball is getting mashed, even if it is, you know, high in velocity, if something's just going on mechanically, there's just not a lot of places to turn. So he obviously has to get that pitch right. It's good that the velo is still there, but they got to figure that out.
You think Drake Baldwin's a lock for Rookie of the Year?
I don't think it's a lock. I think what Isaac Collins is doing in Milwaukee is really special right now for a team that everyone's talking about. And yeah, maybe if Atlanta was having a little bit of a different year, you know, if he was the catcher, or at least getting all the DH at bats. I think that's obviously tricky now down the stretch to try to make sure he gets all the work he needs. He's obviously up there and certainly a really strong candidate for that, and what a great story in an otherwise, as I don't have to tell you, otherwise forgettable, you know, season in Atlanta. Really, really great player. I think Collins might have the edge right now, but I think it's pretty much neck and neck, and he's certainly up there in terms of the top candidates for that award, though.
What do you think is going to be easier to do for the Braves in the offseason? Fix the starting staff or fix the bullpen?
Oof. I think fix the starting staff, because there's just a lot more. Wow, I say that now and then I look through it. It's easier to go find. I would say this. It's easier to go find arms in the bullpen. You know, look at kind of what the Rangers did, and that's been a horrible season for them, so maybe that's a bad example. But they've been able to kind of overhaul it without spending a ton of money, and I think you can do that. I just think there's more reasons, at least for encouragement, in the rotation if you're Atlanta. Like, if everything goes exactly to plan, you could see a world where, you know, you get a couple guys who can kind of stabilize that group, and it could still be an advantage. You know, you pick up the sale option. Schwellenbach comes back healthy. Waldrop can continue to kind of build off maybe what you've seen so far. You know, who knows with some of these other guys kind of coming off injury, but you can at least paint a world, you know, Strider is back in shape where it's a plus for you. You know, there's a lot of volatility there, but I could see that working better. So in that regard, I guess you could say the starting staff, but yeah, I mean, look, bullpens are going to be volatile from year to year. Guys who didn't have it last year are going to have it this year. You can get some help, you know, on the cheap if you can kind of figure that out. So I think it's easier to repair that, but I have more optimism about what Atlanta's rotation could be if healthy next year. That's kind of dancing around the question, I know, but that's kind of just how I feel.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. We're talking with Rowan Kavner. Make sure you check out his stuff on Fox Sports MLB. Whipping around the rest of the league now, we'll stay in the NL East. Do the Mets turn this around?
It's a great question. I think the nice thing for them, and you've seen them kind of be able to dig out a little bit, you know, big series win against Seattle. You know, it's really about the starting pitching to me right now. And I think that was a big question mark kind of coming into the year for them. And they were just really outplaying expectations by a lot. And then all of a sudden they're not anymore. And there's not a ton of really easy answers except for let's see what some of these prospects can do to help. And you have Nolan McLean, who's a really good prospect, really stepping up in that spot. Now, I don't think that's a situation you want to be relying on. For a team that spent as much as they did, there were a lot of guys that could have kind of gone either way. There weren't a ton of sure things, and now you're seeing it kind of all implode a little bit. But you also haven't seen the offense play up to its potential, and obviously there's another level that they can kind of get to that they haven't yet. Soto, you can see probably another level from him, although he's been good. I think you're worried a little bit about injuries. I know Nimmo has a little bit of something going on right now. And then Francisco Alvarez hurts his thumb. That's not great. But I still think they have to be the favorite to get in. And that's the other thing. There's not a lot of teams pushing them outside of the Reds who are right there and are getting healthier in the starting rotation. I think that Mets bullpen is still too good to not be helpful for them down the stretch. But it's really, to me, about their starting rotation. Can those arms be reliable down the stretch? I think they find a way to get in.
Which of these three unproven teams do you have the most faith in? The Blue Jays, the Tigers, or the Mariners?
Yeah. Are we talking about faith, like, to make a real like, kind of run in the postseason?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to say the Mariners, although it's gone really bad. Not really, you know. Well, yeah, really bad. I believe they're on a five-game losing streak right now. Maybe it's four or five. I just look at the roster, and that's the group that I would probably believe in. But at some point, it's got to play out that way. It's nice to look at this on paper. It hasn't exactly played out that way yet. I think that's the most complete team in the American League, but they got to show it. You're seeing the Tigers get a little bit hotter now. The Blue Jays have still kind of been able to maintain that distance. I'm a little concerned the Tigers didn't do more to kind of help themselves out at the deadline. And then with the Blue Jays, you know, it's been this remarkable season where you're getting these, you know, secondary kind of characters who are all sort of stepping up at the right time. You know, if I'm just looking at the roster, I would say Seattle, but that's also the team that of all those that grouping that you're the most worried might not even make it there. So that would be the team though, that scares me the most if I had to play them.
Before I let you go, the Yankees have a very interesting problem on their hands because Aaron Judge can't throw. and his throwing is probably going to be affected for the rest of the year. And then they have Giancarlo Stanton, who's red hot, but he can't play the field either. What do they do?
That's a great question. You know, this is what happens when you basically have like four DHs and nowhere to put these guys. It's tough, man. It's tough. And I don't know that there is anything to do. You know, if Judge can't really throw right now, that's what they're stuck doing this. This is the danger of getting, you know, guys who can't really play in the field and are kind of stuck taking up that DH spot. Now, the other hard part with this is Stanton's been bashing. I mean, he has been really hitting hard. And you want to get him as many, you know, reps as you possibly can, but his body's kind of breaking down already in just this short amount of time that Judge has been there in the DH spot. I think you just have to cross your fingers and hope Judge can throw the ball in a few weeks. There's not really anything left to kind of do. I'm really curious how this works out for them because, again, both of those guys are hitting, and I think that's at least encouraging if you're a Yankees fan. You wonder, Judge coming back, you know, from that kind of an injury, can he – at least be impactful at the plate. He still can, but no one seems to know. And then you have kind of Boone talking about it, like, I don't know if he's going to be able to throw the same, and Judge kind of coming back and like, that's not true. I'm okay. So it's kind of wait and see mode. I'm not worried about them making the playoffs. I am obviously worried, though, if Judge can't throw by October, that's a real problem.
Rowan, appreciate the time. As always, we'll check you out on Fox Sports, and we'll talk soon.
Awesome. See ya.
All right, that is Rowan Kavner. Appreciate Rowan Kavner for stopping by Fox Sports MLB there. Let's finish up with a little bit of a chatter from the man of the hour. That is Hurston Waldrop. He did meet the media after the game. Again, if you missed it, seven innings pitched, no runs, a bunch of strikeouts, looking really good. His ERA lowered to 0.73, and he says he's grateful for the patience and the opportunities that the Braves have afforded him to get to where he is right now.
Yeah, I mean, you learn to be really grateful for patience and really grateful for opportunities, no matter where they are. So if it's AAA, if it's here, like whatever it is, it's an opportunity to play baseball. So when you take that and you just run with it and take advantage of it and don't take a second for granted.
Yeah, and that's the right attitude to have. He's still so young, has such a bright MLB future ahead of him, and you just hope that he continues to pitch like this for the rest of the year because – quite frankly, Braves country, they're going to need him because Smith-Shawver and Grant Holmes are both expected to be out all of next year. So that those two extra spots in the rotation right there, and if Waldrop could take one of them, well, that saves AA a lot of pain and a lot of suffering in trying to go out and find a starting pitcher. Waldrop was also talking about his experience overall and what it's meant to be a Brave.
It's been very good. It's a lot of learning, which I think that's baseball itself, but to be here in this team and this environment with a lot of veteran guys from the starting pitching side to the relievers, position players, and then a lot of younger guys who are, you know, starting to step up and play really well, which is also really cool to see. So just having guys like that, getting Acuña back and seeing him play, and so stuff like that, like, just kind of brings the clubhouse together, and you like I said, play baseball, and it makes everything a lot more fun. So,
yeah, really good stuff there from Waldrop. All right, before we get out of here, let's hear from Snit. He says Waldrop not doing too much out there, just doing what he does.
It's great. No, the whole thing. I mean, that curveball's a nice pitch for him. Holy cow! You know, and I kind of saw him last year, and he seemed like a high velocity fastball in the split, and then. You know, adding everything else is, I'm like, holy cow, this is pretty good. And to see him not out there just redlining every inning, trying to throw, see how hard he can throw it, and it just pitching. It's just refreshing to watch the kid do it work.
I love Snip, man. Even if this is his last year, oh, man, you got to love it. Well, you know, wow, just a curveball, just, you know, came out of nowhere. Love it. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Atlanta Baseball Post Game Show. Appreciate Noel White for producing the program. Appreciate everybody who checked in, 404-726-0929 or at C Thomas Radio. That is my Twitter handle. We'll be back with you tomorrow, 6 to 10. Braves get a day off, so no postgame show, but I'm still with you for the full four on Chris Thomas tonight. You're listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.